This is Will's Band of the Week for June 30th, 2013. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett.
Hey.
And Chris.
I'm here.
Chris, fresh from a kids' movie. Do you want to give us a review of the movie, Chris? You might as well.
Let's see. Took the son and a friend to go see Monsters University. It's okay. Yeah. I mean, it's one of the Pixar ones that are usually pretty good.
Yeah.
They sink so many resources into that movie. They usually do a pretty good job of making sure the movie's actually good.
Mm-hmm.
This one's a 3 out of 4 stars.
All right.
Huh.
How did the kids like it?
They liked it well enough. They're busy screwing off most of the time anyway. So
yeah.
Of course, I had like some 7-year-old girl sitting behind me kicking my seat the whole time. So that's what you get when you go to Pixar movies, but I'll live, I suppose.
Seems like in those movies they usually write in a lot of stuff for the benefit of the adults too, right? So they can make it a whole family experience, or at least tolerable for the adult, right?
Yeah, there's some familiar things about, you know, showing up on a college campus and kind of all the different types of people on a college campus that I'm sure little kids wouldn't get, but adults who have actually been to college get. So it's pretty funny, some of that stuff.
So when you go to a movie theater, what are you getting? The popcorn, drink, Twizzlers? What do you like?
I actually go to movie theaters essentially just to eat the popcorn.
Yeah.
Even if it's a movie I don't particularly care for.
Right. You get the bottomless popcorn, right? Do you get that
yeah.
one where you can get refills and you get like so much that you just basically die from popcorn overdose?
I've been trying to stick with the smaller popcorn, but what they do now is they call it the junior popcorn, which is completely emasculating, so people don't get it. Like,
yeah,
you don't want to be a dude and walk up there and give me the junior popcorn. They should call it like the Pixie Princess popcorn or something.
Right.
Yep. give me the Pixie Princess with extra butter. And that's the other thing. Even now, they make you go like get your own butter, which is appalling. It's like that's what I'm thinking. What's that?
Oh, so you self-administer the? Is there a limit to how much you can put on there?
No, they.
my God.
They give you the bag of the popcorn. You have to go over and squirt your own butter and salt on it, or I shouldn't say butter product. You squirt that on it, and you can put as much as you want on it. But here's the thing: it's not like the old days where they would fill it half up and then pour a little butter on it for you, then fill the rest of it up and pour a little butter on it for you. So when you self-administer, you only get it on the top.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
So they're totally
drenched on top, and then the bottom is dry as a desert. Yeah,
exactly. Hmm. Yeah. That the healthy popcorn is on the bottom.
Right.
But I mean, if I'm paying $10 for popcorn, I mean, I expect a little labor out of it, you know?
Yeah.
You guys squirt the butter on there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I used to go up and I used to order popcorn, and I would challenge the manhood of the guy behind the counter to put as much butter on there as possible. You're a sissy if I walk out of here without having a coronary.
So they don't have like a big container of melted butter to throw on there, right?
No,
is that what you're saying?
Like, it's like, you know, like the ketchup dispensers that they have at some places where you just squirt your own on there. They do that with the butter now.
Oh, it's like a butter product that squirts.
Yeah.
See, I don't know my butter. I always get it unbuttered myself.
You weigh 85 pounds.
Yeah.
You would go into dairy shock if anything touched your blood system.
It might cause cardiac arrest, yeah.
Lactic shock, although it's not actually technically a dairy product. God only knows what's in the mix there.
Yeah. Yeah, like if you read the ingredients, it would just say artificial ingredients or something like that.
It would have a green Mr. Yuck sticker on it.
Yeah.
Which is right. What it would.
Yeah.
Have like a little skull and crossbones.
When you look at ingredients for something like, say, it's a grape drink or whatever, and you know it's not flavored with grapes, but then it says artificial flavoring. Isn't that what the ingredients list is for? To tell you what that is?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
It does seem like natural.
I know
yeah.
it's not grapes. It's artificial. Yeah, but tell me what. I don't know.
No, that's a good point. It, mm-hmm. it does seem like kind of a catch-all.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could throw a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff would factor under artificial flavoring.
Right.
Totally. Yeah.
They can just put like artificial flavoring, sweet stuff, you know, like, I don't know.
You could just have the label say artificial ingredients and natural ingredients. And then that'd be it. That's everything.
Yeah, they could slip like rat poison in under the guise of artificial flavoring.
Yeah.
Like, it could.
Artificial. Tastes
it's
good.
True.
It's delicious, yeah.
Delicious for about 1 minute until you...
yeah, at least you enjoy that last minute of life. Yep. Okay, what do we got? We got some... should I tell you about my Canada trip? I went to Canada. Sure. Yeah, that's why we didn't have a podcast last week. So I guess to justify it, I should tell the listeners about the Canada trip. Well, this is what it was. We went up to London, Ontario, and then Toronto, then Ottawa, and then Montreal. Then we took 2 days to drive back. So that covered about 8 days, and I heard a lot of noise rock in the car, as you guys might have guessed.
Yeah, what did the son have? What did he have queued up?
Well, I think he was on purpose trying to play some more Canadian bands. So the band Metz is one of his favorites. So he listened to a lot of Metz. You guys probably haven't heard of this band called Adonis Adonis, another kind of noise rock band, pretty good. And there's like, I mean, there was like a day that we listened to like 10 albums in the car. So yeah, they were just one right after the other. But
did you have any input into what was being played, or was it all?
I had a little bit. He was mostly like, okay, Dad, now we're going to listen to this. Or he'd say, he'd give me like two or three choices. You know, we listened to some Deer Hunter, and, you know, there, I didn't take notes. So I'm forgetting like most of what we listened to, but, it was definitely skewed toward the noise rock. Sometimes he would say, okay, I have this new thing by this band or whatever, and he'd tell me about it, and I'd say, well, is it going to sound like there's a drill going into my skull or not? And then he'd say, probably not. And I'd say, okay. And then it usually didn't. He was reasonably nice to me. He didn't play much stuff at all that was like painful to listen to. It was all pretty good, actually.
So I used to drive cross country a lot, and there was always like I had it down to a system on what albums I would play. I would go for just anything that you can play from beginning to end. I would throw in I specifically remember Smashing Pumpkins' Siamese Dream being one that it's like a full 80 minutes or 75 minutes or whatever, and it's good from beginning to end. So what I tended to do was go for just something I could hit play and go the whole way rather than something that has like an album that has like really highlights, mm-hmm. but then I got to keep switching around with the music. So is that kind of what you guys did?
Yeah, we definitely stayed true to the album form. You know, we were listening to full albums beginning to end, except I did make a playlist that he wasn't all that keen on listening to because he really likes listening to albums. But I had a playlist with like 100 songs of just old favorites and stuff and some stuff that I thought he might find interesting. So
yeah, I suppose you could do a playlist these days. I'm like still living in 1992.
You can do that. Yeah.
Back when you had to put in a CD, physically put in a CD and ride it out till it was over.
Exactly. Yeah. So, so it was good. And then in Toronto, we stopped and saw Anurag. So that was fun.
Hey, Anurag, how you doing?
Always good to see Anurag. He came into work on this specific day because we were going to be in town, and then they told him that they had a project he needed to do, and so they like piled on the work because he had come in that day, and then said he had to stay till 8 p.m. Mm. So we caught him for a few minutes in the late afternoon, and always good to see Anurag.
Offer any good music suggestions, what they're all listening to in Toronto?
He told us that he's got tickets to see Nine Inch Nails.
Ah.
It's the one thing I remember. He said he doesn't get to see as many live bands these days because he's living a little bit farther out from the city and I guess doesn't have like people to go see bands with either. So he was lamenting that a little bit, but things are still going pretty good for Anurag in Toronto and the surrounding area. So
his wife opened a dental practice.
Yep, she bought some retiring guy's dental practice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's finally like turning around to the, you know, positive, you know, in the black or whatever, doing pretty well now, I guess.
Nice.
So yeah, it's good.
I just knew that because I've got a Facebook thing. So
right. So you liked a
congratulations.
You liked a dental clinic in Ontario. Mm-hmm. I did the same thing, yeah. It's like I said to him, you know, if I'm ever in the area and I need a dentist, I'll know where to go.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I recommend to people to visit that area. Toronto is a really cool city. There's a ton of music venues, music stores, and it's a great city to just explore in. Really cool, really fun. So we ended up going to a lot of music stores. We never went to see a band because it just didn't, you know, you can't time it all the time, you know, to like be somewhere and that exact night there's somebody playing that you want to see. So
so they still have music stores there because they don't have Spotify yet?
Yeah, I guess so. Well,
they do have it now, though.
Got
them while they last.
When I said music stores, I was really referring to musical instrument stores. But they also we also went to the huge record store, Sonic Boom. In fact, I sent Barrett a message when I was there to ask if he needed any vinyl because I was in a store just full of vinyl, this huge store. But they wanted $38 for The Wall by Pink Floyd, so Barrett didn't want to pay that much, which I don't blame him for.
Wow.
That's a lot.
But, you know, it was
autographed. Yeah.
There was like a minimal version that was like $20, and I wasn't clear whether that was actually new or used. It was probably new. But the full packaging one was like $36 or $38.
Oh, so that was brand new? Like,
I think so. Yeah. Okay. And then, like, you know, it's interesting because a lot of these newer releases that they put on vinyl, you know, they'll have like a huge packaging thing. Like, so you really get a lot with it. So at least justifies some of that additional cost. But it seems like, seems like they're doing pretty well, you know, just because of the sheer volume of stuff that they had in there.
I was actually just thinking last night about maybe. They've re-released all the Beatles albums on wax, on vinyl, right, recently. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about maybe getting that. Because I was, you know, actually last night I watched the 1978 Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band with the Bee Gees.
And Peter Frampton.
Oh, my God. It is almost the worst thing ever committed to film.
Boy,
it's so bad.
I didn't even remember that existed.
Oh yeah,
it sounds pretty bad.
Go ahead.
It is okay. I'm gonna watch that. Is it so bad it's worth watching?
Yes, it is. It is. I mean, you just sit there and think of like, what is the whole like, what is the thought process behind this whole thing? Because all these, you know, Beatles albums came out less than 10 years before.
I know, isn't that weird?
So yeah, so it's like we're gonna take all these. First of all, like the message of the movie is like being anti-capitalist, like. You know, greed for money and all that stuff because Big Deal Records, you know, signs them to this. It's basically the plot of the Muppet movie, just with the Bee Gees. But so they like it's an anti-greed, anti-money thing. But when you look at the movie, it's essentially like, all right, let's take all these Beatles songs from 10 years ago, just co-opt them, update them for the 70s with the Bee Gees and just throw them out there as like some rock opera that's just appalling. But
wow.
It's good. It's funny. It's got George Burns singing a song too, which is always welcome.
It's appalling, but it's good. That's a good review.
it's definitely worth the watch. I mean, it's just such a cool encapsulation of the 70s and like what people were up to those days.
So many times when a musical artist makes a movie, it's just a disaster.
But all the songs are so good. I was thinking to myself, gosh, I need to, because I know they put them all out on CD, but it just seems like buying CDs at this point, either you go vinyl or you go, or you just like download them. CDs just seem to be kind of retro, but not in a cool way.
That's funny how the technology changes.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You're talking about Canada.
That's all I've got, I think. Okay. I could have a lot more. I don't know. Should I talk about more?
It was a good trip. Now?
No, but when we got to Montreal, of course, there was a lot of French being spoken. And my son takes French in school, so he actually kept telling me that he understood what people were saying. He was bragging about understanding what people were saying, which I didn't.
You talked to any little French ladies?
Yeah, actually, a few.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. Grant thought that the city was intimidating in part because all the people seem to be so much better looking. That's what he actually said that. And I wasn't intimidated by it, but I think he's got a point there. So it's a pretty cool city to explore. And we were only in Montreal for less than 24 hours, but we tried to make the most of it. But obviously there were huge parts of it that we didn't get to see. It's a cool city. You could easily spend several days there. And the people are pretty nice when you meekly admit that you don't speak French. They're pretty nice to you. At least that was my experience.
Did you learn how to say "I don't speak French" in French? So no. At least they understood that part.
I didn't do that. You know what I did?
You just like throw your hands up and just kind of have a confused look, and they figured it out.
Actually, this was my method, and Grant was laughing at me for doing this. But I would walk in and I would hear the person speaking French, and I would just say "Hello." So it's like that's my way of announcing, "I'm sorry, I am an English speaking person." And it worked. But
did you say bon voyage when you left somewhere?
No.
Yeah, there are more things. You're right. There are some things that you would know.
Oh, yeah.
What else besides that? If somebody gives you like something, merci beaucoup. You know, you could say that.
Right, right.
Baguette.
Yeah.
Baguette. We could go on and on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, if we have any listeners in France, if they want to throw us any phrases that we should know, like let's boil it down here. What are the five things we need to know?
Yeah.
In French.
France or, of course, French Canada.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. I wonder if we have French Canadian listeners. We should. Identify yourselves, people. I was just in your area. So, yeah, good trip. Check it out sometime. Okay, there's music news. This is, I don't want to devalue a person's life, but I'm going to say it's minor music news. The drummer from Devo died.
Oh.
And he used to have an upside-down planter or something like that on his head, as did the other members of Devo. Do you guys ever like Devo? I sort of didn't really get it that much. I didn't really hate him, but I just thought, I don't know, is this goofy? And I just, yeah.
Having been around when they were around, I mean, they weren't taken seriously, or I don't think. It's only really in retrospect that it was like, oh, Devo was really cool.
Right, it was about five years.
At the time, I sure didn't think so.
It seemed like it was just about 5 years after they were actually popular that it was like this thing where they were perceived as being cool. At least that was what I heard, and I still didn't really get it.
I always kind of knew like their biggest hits, and then they always seem to pop up on like soundtracks and stuff like that where they'll reach back. There's actually a Devo song on the we just talked about Rock and Roll High School. I think there's a Devo song, a couple Devo songs on that soundtrack. It's not all Ramones.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
So I mean when I've heard some of the lesser known stuff on that, it's pretty impressive. I like it a lot. And then, of course, Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo has gone on to score a lot of movies. I believe he's won an Academy Award for a lot. He does a lot of like the Wes Anderson movies. He did Rushmore and some other ones. So he's turned into kind of a big star in that realm.
Yeah, that's kind of a cool trivia thing. And that is a name that you still hear, Mark Mothersbaugh.
He and Danny Elfman of Oingo Boingo.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Danny Elfman has got he's surpassed what he did with Oingo Boingo 100 times over as far as success.
See, I wouldn't have probably even put that together. I mean, if you told me the name Danny Elfman, I would have said, oh, yeah, I've heard that name, but I wouldn't have said, oh, that's the guy from Oingo Boingo.
Yeah, if I see a movie and I see score by Danny Elfman at the beginning, I'm buckled in for a good, I expect a pretty good score.
How much Oingo Boingo, though, do you even remember?
Only a Lad. Remember that song? That's a pretty good one.
Well, I recall Weird Science, which is the theme song from the movie Weird Science.
Mm-hmm. According to Spotify, their most popular song is Dead Man's Party.
Yeah.
And then Weird Science. Let's see. This is Weird Science.
From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention?
Wow, that's an 80s sound, isn't it?
One of the greatest movies
timeless.
Ever made.
Yeah. Timeless classic.
Yeah. Wow.
But some of their early stuff is actually okay.
Hmm.
Yeah, would you categorize them as new wave?
Yeah.
Yeah.
New wave. Pretty good catch-all.
Yeah, I think that's probably, that's new wave.
No, but scoring movies seems to be the way. I mean, if you were modestly successful as a musician, like, didn't Trent Reznor just win an Oscar for his score for The Social Network, I believe?
Did he? I don't know.
Hmm. Yeah.
You're the Trent Reznor guy.
Yes.
That's your thing.
Chris gives us the Dave Grohl news, and he's got to be responsible for the Trent Reznor news, too. Now, maybe if there's some Billy Corgan news, you can give us that, too. Oh, those 90s stars.
I'm fairly confident Trent Reznor just won an Oscar for the Social Network score. You can check up on that.
Okay, this one deserves actually the actual sound effect here. This is a real news item. I sent this to you guys. It's from the Washington Post Wonk blog, I guess you call it.
That is the Ezra Klein blog, correct?
But this one, he's one of the contributors, but this was written by another guy, Timothy B. Lee. Anyway, he told us that sharing 30 songs online cost this college student $675,000. And so the news story was brought on by the fact that he had just lost his appeal, this guy. So the U.S. Court of Appeals for the First Circuit upheld what was a jury verdict against this guy for $675,000 for this whole file sharing thing. And they only convicted him, or maybe convicted, yeah, that would be the right word. He was convicted of distributing, 30-some songs. Yeah, well, yeah, it says sharing 30. But I guess he admitted that he had actually distributed, 5,000. So I don't know how that exactly works. But anyway, that's a lot of money, right?
That is. I think he...
I don't even know what to say about it.
Money in the long run, just by buying the music.
Yeah,
don't you think? Even packaging it up and sending it to everybody that downloaded it for free.
Exactly, he distributed it, right?
Yeah,
songs they were?
No,
like some super litigious band.
Yeah, I don't know. I think what really got him into trouble was that he was kind of a jerk about it, and they linked to the actual decision. In the actual decision, it says, let's see, let me find the, here we go. Here's the important paragraph. From 1999 to at least 2007, Tenenbaum, that's the guy's name, downloaded and distributed copyrighted music without authorization using various peer-to-peer networks. Tenenbaum knew that his conduct was illegal, but he pressed on. This is great. He pressed on, ignoring warnings from his father, his college, and recording companies. So even after his dad told him not to do it, he still did it. So that's pretty bad, right?
That is bad.
So then he got sued, and then it says, during discovery, Tenenbaum lied about his activities, blaming unidentified burglars and a foster child living in his parents' home, among others. Only at trial did Tenenbaum admit that he had distributed as many as 5,000 songs. So I think a lot of this is just probably the jury just thought, this guy's a jerk.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think
that's
maybe
a lot of money, though. So yeah, he could pretty much work the rest of his life to pay this off.
Yeah. I mean, it's a crazy amount of money.
His father, of course, being Royal Tenenbaum.
Right.
Yes.
It's the bomber.
He can help him pay it off. Shouldn't really be a problem, but yeah. Yeah. So I, you know, boy, that whole era of Napster and all that, I never knew what to think, but I always felt a little uncomfortable that all these people, you know, knowing that they were stealing this stuff with, and the music was just, you know, it was just rampant, and it became this mentality of, if everybody else can do it, then I can do it too. And I don't know. And I also just read a book by Greg Kot. He's one of those guys who does the Sound Opinions podcast, mm-hmm, out of Chicago. And it's called Ripped, and it's about basically the digital revolution. And it kind of just traces through the history of you know, from the approximately from the CD up until the present, and how the music industry has changed. His point of view seems to be generally that it's, despite every, you know, all the negatives, that it's still better than it used to be, because artists weren't getting much anyway when the record companies controlled everything. So now it's better for consumers, and arguably better for the artists too. I'm not so sure about that, but
yeah,
but that seems to be what he thinks. So anyway, it's just weird, isn't it, that the recording companies went after certain people, and some people, you know, who distributed like probably 10 times as much as this guy, ended up like paying nothing. Or I guess some people settled with the record companies, and, you know, this guy probably, you know, got warned and warned and warned, and just totally like tried to throw it in their faces. And
right.
So, yeah. All right. I'm sure some people have more intelligent commentary about this than I do, but I thought it was at least interesting. So,
well, you're the lawyer. Music law news.
Music law. Yeah. That's, something obviously I don't have much expertise in, but all right. Hey, want to talk about music?
Sure, I've heard of that. I like music.
Let's do it. Okay, I really think we should start with Surfer Blood. And Chris is going to tell us all about the new album by Surfer Blood.
This is the album of the summer. It is, you know, it's power pop. For those who know Surfer Blood, they, you know, it's poppy, it's catchy. You know, it's one of those where you can roll your windows down and listen to it during the summer, and, you know, bob your head along to it. And yeah, so I like it a lot. Although, as I mentioned to you guys, you know, I have some reservations about enjoying this album, which we'll probably get into later. But just to get started, I'll play a song. Let's start with song number 2, which is called Gravity.
Okay, before you play this, I want to say that as we speak right now, or as people are listening, there are little stickers being made with Chris's quote. You know, it says, quote, the album of the summer.
Absolutely.
Chris from the Will's Band of the Week podcast. It's going to be a sticker on, like, all the records and CDs and everything.
Together.
That's Surfer Blood. The album is called Pythons.
This album is so good that Peter Frampton's going to make it into a rock opera in 10 years. That's how good it is.
That's pretty good.
Wow. There's been a preliminary indication that Barrett might not think this is the album of the summer. So
I just didn't, like, I don't know, the first couple times I listened to it, I disliked it a lot, and I decided that I disliked it so much that I was wrong for liking the first one. But,
whoa,
so strongly did I feel that way that I couldn't even make myself listen to the first one to test that theory.
So that ended right there.
But then I listened to it again, and I realized it's not that big a deal. It's all right. I just don't like the guy's voice. So there's your review. So...
Are you going to turn it right over to me?
The music is, you know, that's the kind of stuff that we all like, I think. And but for some reason, the guy's voice, he gave me a real visceral reaction at first, and then I softened up on it and just realized I wish they had somebody else singing these songs.
See, in some of those songs, I like just his vocal style kind of reminds me of Smoking Popes. Like, there's some that I listen to, and I'm like, God, that sounds exactly like the Smoking Popes, who I like a lot, and who we went to actually drove down Chicago to see once.
Yep.
So, do you find them equally as irritating, the vocal
style?
No, not
at all. Because the Smoking Popes guy sounds like Morrissey.
Yeah. Okay. It's that kind of style.
I guess you could hear a little bit of that in this, too, if you think about it. But, so... I don't know. I should have then, after I stopped disliking it so much, gone back and picked out a favorite song or two, but I did not.
You're going to just turn it back to me then?
I want to turn it over to you, yeah.
All right, I'll go next. Okay, let's see. Well, I'll give you my impressions of the album, but first I'll play a song. I kind of like this one because it's got a catchy riff, but there's another reason I like it, because I think it kind of sounds a little bit like 38 Special. It's track 3, Weird Shapes. Yeah, so Barrett, if you don't like the guy's vocal style, just picture the guy from 38 Special. I think there's a little resemblance there. Now, maybe it's because it got planted in my head from the first time we made the identification on the first album.
Yeah, on that song, there's that little vocal effect kind of on the screaming part that seems to be an effect popular with the Foo Fighters.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Some of the earlier Foo Fighters album has that same kind of screaming.
Yeah.
Whatever they do to it. So that's right. That's how that was familiar to me.
Yeah. So Okay, I'll give you my take on this album. So, like, the first two times I listened to it, I'm like, right with Barrett, like, I just don't think I'm really into this. And but it wasn't because of the guy's vocals. It was because it doesn't sound like a Surfer Blood album to me. I mean, it sounds like it has the same singer, but it completely threw me off because it's just not the same style. The first album just has more, I thought it had more interesting stuff going on, and I was expecting them to go in a different direction, like more sort of diverse. Instead, they made like this straight up pop rock album, which just threw me off. But then once I accepted the fact that it was a completely different album, like almost like by a different band, then I sort of liked it. It's a simple pop album that is pretty catchy, and most of the songs are actually pretty good. So I kind of turned around on it. I sort of like it. It's just
that's going to be the sticker. I sort of like it.
Sort of like it. Well, that's the question. What's more valuable, Chris calling something the album of the summer, or me calling it that, saying I sort of like it? You know, they want my review. You know, it could.
Well,
be.
Right. You have the gravitas, yeah, among the music community that I'm still seeking.
Exactly. So, let's make Barrett hear some more. Then we'll just keep playing it.
I would go. I would pick. Let's see. I really like a song called Slow Six, but it's not really that great for playing on the podcast because it kind of changes the middle. It's probably one of the longer songs at almost 5 minutes. But let's go with a song number 7, which is called Blair Witch.
Blair Witch.
Like the bass line of that song.
Well, a song with a good bass line, you know, that just makes the song, right?
As we all know. Exactly. I'm trying to suck up to you.
Yeah. why don't you talk about your reservations about this album?
Yes. So this caused some controversy amongst the group, as well as probably the regular group. I guess it was a year ago, a little more than a year ago, the lead singer was arrested for a domestic abuse incident. And then the charges were eventually dropped. But in the interviews, you could tell that something pretty serious went on there. And so he has said that, you know, I understand that people are going to have reservations about my career now and this album, because of what happened. So to me, you know, it just kind of made me think of the celebrities that, you know, we support their art, we support what they do, but they may be kind of sleazeballs, and so you have some reservations about you know, giving them your money to support whatever terrible habits they have. So I kind of threw that out to the group of us, and you suggested that someone who was the word leeching off society by being addicted to drugs or something,
yeah,
would be less you know, less desirable or something like that. And so I figured, you know, if you just throw this out to society, I think a guy who beats women is probably lower on the totem pole than someone who's hooked on drugs, but I don't know.
Yeah.
So that was the debate.
Yeah, it was our little mini debate. Yeah.
Yeah, I stayed away from that. I think they're both acceptable. So I didn't have anything to say. I mean, unacceptable. That's what I meant to say. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I guess it made me think that I've run into, in the course of my work, a lot of domestic abusers and some really nasty ones. So I guess if you're always looking at criminals and then you see a guy who had one arrest and no conviction and you're like, okay, you know, maybe he's not horrible, you know. And then it just made me also think that, you know, by comparison, I thought it was interesting to think about that you've got these people who, you know, for years they're like a heroin addict and they're like supporting this nasty trade and, you know, weapons and all just the underworld crap, you know, that they're supporting, and they seem to get sort of a free pass. Like nobody like scoffs at people for being heroin addicts. And I kind of sometimes I scoff at him myself. So.
It's odd that we're so politically different, yet we would like kind of flip on this issue.
Yeah,
because I would be, I guess I would say getting, yes, you, at some point you make a decision to do drugs, try drugs, and then once you're in their grip, it's hard to you know, it's hard to shake them, obviously. But I don't know. Yeah. I guess I should also say that, you know, all these. Women abusers that you're hanging out with, neither of them are me or Barrett.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hanging out with. That's not maybe how he would characterize it. But.
No.
Yeah.
No, definitely not.
I know.
No, you said you read more about this thing too, and I didn't know anything about the background of this Surfer Blood guy.
It made me think of like celebrities who are probably scumbags that I still like, I'll go see their movies and I'll support them, and when I know I'm probably, I was just watching the movie last week, Hustle and Flow. Have either of you seen that movie?
No.
It's a really, really good movie. It's from 05 or 06. It's about a Memphis rapper who, it's actually a pretty good representation. I've never made an album, but it's kind of this guy rises from the street to make a rap album, you know, like a low level rap album in his house. And it's probably a good representation, I think, of what it's probably like to write and make an album. But in any event, it's a really good movie. It stars Terrence Howard. And I was thinking what a great movie it was. I looked it up, and it appears that Terrence Howard himself has had some trouble perhaps keeping his hands off women as well. And it made me feel terrible all of a sudden that I shouldn't like this movie as much as I did. So I don't know. If we're going to start not listening to bands because they're into drugs, I think that probably,
yeah, then you can't listen to music anymore. I agree with that. That's a problem. Yeah,
right. The Osmonds, I think it'd be down to them, I think. So
yeah, that's true. Well, you know, in the Surfer Blood guy's case, I guess one more thing I'll say is that you really don't know like what kind of a person the guy is. There's a like a black mark on his reputation, obviously, but there are people in this situation who, you know, they might have made like one huge mistake, but they're not like a horrible person. But then there are other people who this is just one indication, but this is kind of how they are all the time. And you really have no idea, you know, what side of that spectrum this guy or a lot of other people might be on. So, yeah, I wanted to give the guy the benefit of the doubt, whether he deserves it or not.
It would be like if you guys really started liking an album and then found out the guy was a Republican.
then we'd, Baird and I would just immediately write it off as terrible.
Yeah.
I'm never giving that Tea Party lover another cent.
When the Sarah Palin album comes out, Chris, you'll have to do the review.
I think you'll be forewarned on that one.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
What would her band be called?
The Sarah Palin dubstep album?
Oh man.
All right. Yeah. Let's talk about another band. There's a new Camera Obscura album.
Rockman Palin Overdrive.
Yes.
like,
it's called I
get it.
I can see your booty from my house.
Oh man.
We'll look forward to that. Okay, what about Camera Obscura? You guys going to talk about that? I think we should.
Sure, why don't you give us a little intro into this Scottish band, Chris?
Me?
If some notes prepared. Yeah, I was talking to Will offline about how he's always got something prepared because he's usually the one that'll say, you know, the band is from wherever and this is their X album, and I never do that. I always just kind of wing it. So all I can say is that they're from Scotland, and that Chris and I saw them in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, didn't we?
Yeah. The singer and songwriter, her name is Tracy Ann Campbell. Beyond that, I'm not real comfortable spouting off a lot of other things that I don't know about this band.
Yeah, I don't know which album. I've kind of lost track of how many albums.
It's going to be like probably their sixth.
I think
fifth or sixth or something.
I think it's only five, which surprised me because they've been around a long time.
Yeah.
You know, they only put out albums, every 3 or 4 years. So they're not like trying to oversaturate. So they're going at a comfortable pace. But so the new album is called Desire Lines. So I will give a further introduction. And that is, it's not really much different than their other albums, right? I don't think it is, but it's pretty good. And I think that her voice is so unique and her singing style that, put any kind of a decent song attached to that voice and it's going to be pretty good, I think. So that's kind of what I think of the album. It's not perfectly great from beginning to end. I think the first half's a little bit better than the second half, but it's pretty good. So now, as long as I've done that lead-in, let's play something. I think I'll go with track 4, William's Heart.
Love to have
Camera Obscura.
Yep. Got a nice sound. I don't know what you think about it, Chris, but to me, I mean, I listened to the whole album several times through, and all just really nice songs, and she's got a great voice, and everything's really catchy. It's just that, you know, when I heard them first, however many years ago, you know, it just kind of reminded me of Belle and Sebastian. It's got just got that kind of twee pop type thing. And Belle and Sebastian kind of evolved a little bit. And this band hasn't. I'm not saying that they should or that they have tried. They don't seem to have tried. And they don't seem interested in changing much. But as a listener, now we've just got five albums that are all kind of similar to me. And I'm just not super thrilled about it, you know? So
yeah, see,
I give
from
it
my...
kind of a, you know, just like a... It's good. I like it, but I guess I was hoping for more.
Yeah, see, for me, Belle and Sebastian has evolved into something that I'm not as crazy about. So, you know, I agree. I believe she and Stuart...
Murdoch?
Yes. She and he dated at some point. Hmm. And that's how she got into music, them being both Glaswegians. And... Yeah, I mean, I like this album. They're, for me, I mean, I've been a fan of theirs for a while, and for me, their high points are really high, and their low points are still pretty good. I think they range from good to great, and every one of their albums has two or three songs that are probably my favorites of the last decade or so. But so this one, after listening to it through, it doesn't seem to have those high points. It just seems to be pretty good, as opposed to, you know, kind of having those peaks. So I'll go ahead and pick a song. I'll go with number 6, which is called Do It Again.
Let's Do It Again, from the Glaswegians.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good song. They're all good songs. And I think Chris and I both were expecting something just a little bit more, but for slightly different reasons.
Do you have any track that you want to pick, Barrett?
Yeah, I'm going to pick one. I need your son to pronounce this for me, but number 7, Cri de Coeur. Is that how you say that?
That sounds close enough.
Close enough.
I like to think that I'm driving, but I like to take.
I was a little late fading that out because I was looking up the translation.
I did too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cry from the heart.
Cry Ooh. From the heart.
Yeah.
That's why Barrett picked it. His heart is always crying.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
Was that Camera Obscura or was that Sarah Palin and the Mama Grizzlies?
that one was Camera Obscura, but they do sound kind of similar. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. You came up with a good band name for her.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep.
There was a year the Grizzly stuff was going on, so she could easily slip right into the indie music scene.
Yeah. Is there another
Grizzly
what
Bear.
Other names we got?
There was Grizzly Bear.
Yes.
There was maybe I'm thinking bears. Panda Bear.
Yeah.
There was another bear band.
Bear in Heaven. That was one. They weren't as well known, no.
She could call her band Hockey Moms.
Sure. Right?
Yeah. That would work.
We've definitely talked enough about Sarah Palin on this podcast, right?
It's every week. It's like Dave Grohl and Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
Every week.
Yeah, totally.
People are sick of it.
All right. That's all I've got. So you guys got anything? Or are we signing off?
I've got one thing here.
Okay.
I'm going to challenge you guys to go someplace and run a 40-yard dash. And time yourselves.
Oh my God, that's
how fast do you think you could do it in? Because I timed myself today on that like marching band practice thing.
Oh, that field over by the lakeshore path over there.
Yeah, I was running over there.
And so you ran 40 yards. Yeah,
I'm like, I'm gonna go up there and just run 40 yards. He timed me, and it was bad.
Okay, I'm gonna say, let's see. You know, what it would mean for me would be like. Torn hamstring, you know, if you try to sprint.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, it's kind of like if you try to, if you tried to throw a baseball with one of those pitching machines, right? You just like throw out your shoulder or something. Let's see. What would Barrett do the 40-yard dash in? Probably about like
Bo Jackson would do it in like 4.12 or something, right?
Bo Jackson, yeah, yeah.
Yes. Right. So then you got me.
And like really good football players will do like what? Like a running back is like a 4.4 or something.
Yeah, 4.4 would be real good.
Yeah, at the NFL combine, your fastest people, like your cornerbacks and such, will run like a 4.2, 4.3.
Okay.
The very fastest. Yeah.
I think Barrett could do it in nine seconds.
Chris? I'm giving him more credit than that. I'll give him 7 seconds.
Oh, Chris got it.
You did it in seven?
7.07.
Oh, that's good. I'm sorry, I gave you.
But the field was wet, okay, and my shoes were kind of wet.
It wasn't a fast track?
No, it was not a fast track. I think I can get down under 7 seconds if I – the other thing is you're supposed – I read up on this. I was, like, trying to figure out, you know, like, what's the slowest combine speed? And it was faster than that, some offensive linemen.
I think don't most of those 320-pound linemen still run like, you know, 5.6 or something?
Yeah, they are a good deal faster.
Yeah.
So, but you're supposed to run when you're ready to run instead of waiting for somebody to say go. So there's a little advantage there. I'm gonna try it a different way. See if I can beat.
That's from a dead start. That's not like
40. Right. Yeah. From
a running start?
From a dead start.
Yep.
So there's your challenge. Unless you're worried, I mean, I probably should have thought of that too, about tearing a hamstring or something. I don't know, because I don't usually run as fast as I can.
Yeah. I think I would be slower, but maybe I'll try it sometime just for this.
What are you talking about?
Intriguing thing.
You run that fast for a marathon.
Not that fast.
The
fast twitch muscles are not the strength here. So, yep.
So there you go.
All right. All the listeners can do it. I wonder what Anurag.
7.07.
Maybe Anurag will run a 40 now and tell us what he can do.
Well, in different countries, it's like the metric system.
Yeah,
so.
That's true.
They would have meters.
Exactly.
So you'd either have an advantage or a disadvantage.
You know,
I don't know how it works.
I don't know which one.
He'll run it in two.
You would never be able to find a 40-yard field anywhere, right, in Canada.
Oh no, actually the CFL.
They'd use yards. They don't have like a 100-meter field.
110 yards long.
Okay, so they
do
yards.
Which is kind of weird. Why do they do that?
Yeah, they should just do meters.
Why don't they make it meters? It's 110, and then the end zones are another 20 or something, right? So, like, the best seats are on the 55-yard line.
Yes.
Huh. Yeah, that's really weird.
I also wanted to mention the fact that I am actually going to Summerfest on Sunday night by the time this is probably posted. So,
who are you
going to
see?
Not really going to see anybody, just going with friends. I checked out the music lineup, and it's pretty unimpressive. Like, of bands I've actually listened to, like Silver Sun Pickups is playing.
Oh, yeah.
The Cold War Kids,
mm-hmm.
who I really liked their first album from maybe 10 years ago, but haven't listened to anything since. So I don't know. I think it's I'm not going to be soaking in the music in my ears. I'm going to be soaking in something else from a cup.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm looking forward to. But if there's anybody, I mean, I almost always go see somebody that impresses me that I hadn't heard of. So I'll come back with a report.
Sounds good.
All right.
All right.
I'll look at the schedule here and I'll text you later if there's anything.
Tell him what he needs to see.
Sunday night.
Yes. Oh no, they played
on Wednesday.
Days ago.
I wanted to see them, but that just wasn't the right time. 10 o'clock on a Wednesday. Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. So another time. Karen O will have to wait for me for another time.
Oh, I'm sure she is.
Yep. A message will come from podcast management. That's Barrett directing Chris on what he needs to scout
out. Well, after I said that, I'm like, well, Chris is perfectly capable of, obviously, you know, I'm talking to my brother-in-law or something.
So you're gonna let
so he
Chris
can do that on his own.
Okay, we'll let Chris decide. I think.
Well, look it over, and I can't claim to have heard of every band. So if there's something,
how about Sigmund Snowpack? Whatever that is, that's there every year. I don't have any idea what that is.
That's some old Milwaukee guy.
Yeah. You probably skipped that.
Yeah, for people that don't know, Summerfest is a big music festival. It's like 10 days in Milwaukee every summer. And sometimes they get some pretty good bands.
And
people just go to take their shirts off and drink a lot.
Yeah, it's as much a beer and food festival as it is. It's probably beer first, food second, and music. Well, maybe music's equal with the food, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I might set the world caloric intake record. So
we've got the Wailers.
Are they Sunday night?
Sunday at 10. Yeah.
The wave. The Wailers missing one small part.
Yeah, exactly.
That is funny. Yeah.
That's like going to see the Pips.
Right.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
I'd love to have that on my resume. I was a Pip.
Yep. Yep.
All right.
Okay, thanks guys. We'll
sure.
We'll do some post and pre-production and come up with some music for next week, hopefully. All right. Thanks. We'll talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
You can contact this podcast by sending an email to willsband@yahoo.com or by posting a comment on the webpage willsband.net. You can also contact us through the Will's Band of the Week Facebook page or on Twitter @willsband. You can also, of course, download the podcast on iTunes, the Stitcher app, or any other podcasting app. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin.